Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me.
My friends at the old country church.
Good morning, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we get into your word this morning, we ask for the presence of the Holy Spirit so that the words that are spoken this morning, Heavenly Father, are yours and not man's. Now, Father, be with us throughout the remainder of this morning and this day. Bring us into the night with peace and comfort. Now, Father, in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right. We're going to get Brother Dennis up here and see what God laid on his heart these last few days.
Good morning, everyone. To be honest with you, I don't really have a clue how I'm going to do what I want to do here. So I'm truly going to rely on the Holy Spirit, because I really don't understand how I'm going to get it all put out there and make it make sense. But before I start, because I always like to relate what I'm going to talk to you about with current events and things that's going on in the world right now. As you may have remembered, about a year and a half ago or so, the U.S. Air Force, or the military as a whole, released a bunch of videos for public consumption of UFOs and things of that nature. At the time, they said that they, from the year 2004 till this was, I guess, in late 20, early 21, whenever they did this, they had 143 confirmed incidents with what they call UAPs or UFOs. Well, as a result of them releasing that, Congress, just a couple months ago, in fact in May, held some hearings about the very topic. And from the time that they released that information in 21 until they reported to Congress what was going on, it went from 143 incidents to over 400. Now, why there was, you know, such a remarkable thing going from 143, from, and that included all the way from 2004 all the way up to 21 to over 400 in just a year's time. I don't know. You know, some of it may be people just feeling the ability to come out and talk about it. Some of it might be made up. Who knows? I'm just pointing out the fact that, you know, a substantial jump in all of it. And maybe there's just that many more sites. So as a result of that, I did a little bit more research. And as it turns out, MIT and a couple other universities throughout the world actually got together and had a big consortium, and they polled the world populations of how many people actually believe in aliens. As it turns out that 65% of the world's population actually believe that there's alien life out there. A full two-thirds of the world's population actually believe in aliens, and a third of those say they've actually been abducted. That's a full, well, that'd be like, I don't know, 20% of the world's population saying that they've been abducted at that point. The interesting thing about all this, the abductions and stuff, is they say that whenever they were abducted, they were doing experiments on pulling DNA, and the most common things that they took were their sexual cells, in other words, their sperm or the eggs from the women, and sperm from the men, and things of that nature, which gets us into where we actually going to be talking about today. But it's an interesting thought, and it's an interesting idea. And the reason I wanted to talk about this is, first of all, there's no such thing as aliens. And the Bible explains to us in full detail, if you just take the time to read it and understand what it's telling you, there's no such thing as aliens. Those are demonic beings. And like I say, that's part of what we're going to get into today. You know, when you go to Ephesians, it tells you that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but the princes and powers of the air and things of that nature. Okay? I can go to Ephesians and read it to you verbatim, but in the gist of it, it's telling you that we're fighting against spiritual beings. And in today's society, people think they're a lot smarter than they actually are. And they don't believe in spirit beings, but they'll believe in an alien. They don't believe in God, but they'll believe in UFOs. They don't believe in all this other stuff. And the Bible tells us, you know, from 6,000 years ago, what all these things actually were. So, first I want to start off with in Matthew. And I'm just going to give you, this is just a prelude to where we're going. It's just getting us on the right track here. Matthew 24, verse 37 tells us, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Okay? Christ is telling us that the same things that was going on in Noah's time is the same things that's going to be going on in our time. And you go, well, how in the new world does that relate to UFOs? Well, we're fixing to find out. So if you will, turn with me to Genesis and start off in chapter 6. And I can already hear some of you going, huh? Yeah, okay. He's, you know, what world he's talking about. But, you know, Proverbs tells us, you know, it's a folly not to understand what you're talking about or hear, you know, to make judgment on something before you actually investigate it or do your own research into it. And, you know, a term that I like to use, investigate before condemnation. So whether you believe what I'm telling you or not, go back. The, again, one of the biggest things that I push for is not necessarily to believe what I say or what any man says for that matter. Go back, research it, read the Bible, see what it actually says, and then you make your own determination from that. Because, again, I've said many, many times before, neither me nor Pastor Kenny or Pastor Tony or any other pastor for that matter can save you. You have to save yourself. Your redemption is on your own hands. You have to do what God tells you to do and how he tells you to do it. And, you know, the guy standing behind the podium is not responsible for your salvation. You are. You're responsible for your own salvation and how you live your life. All right, so chapter 6, verse 1. And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose. Okay, let's stop right there. Now, before we even get into this, in the cemeteries, or seminaries, I mean, what they teach, because they again don't want to believe in spiritual beings. You know, that's why there's so many people out there right now that don't know very much about the Holy Spirit as a whole. It's because they don't want to get into the spiritual side of anything anymore. So what they teach these young kids in the seminaries, I keep wanting to say cemetery, what they keep teaching these young kids in the seminaries is that the sons of God are the sons of Seth, and that the daughters were the daughters of Cain, and that they wasn't supposed to be, you know, co-mingling and this, that, and the other. Right. But if you take, and I've done this a couple of times, but I've specifically done it on this chapter. You can go, there's a great website out there, it's called the Blue Letter Bible, and you can take every verse, every chapter of the entire Bible, you can have it posted, you can have the original Hebrew posted right beside it, and any version of the Bible that you want to imagine, you can have it all set up there, you can have the same thing put in the Greek, you can have what the King James says, you can have what any other Bible says, you can have the Greek and the Hebrew all side by side, and you can cross everything over to see what it actually says, and for every word that's in there, they've got a little mark up there, and you can click on that little mark for every single word in there, and it'll tell you every place in the Bible that it's set. So when we get to this part down here where it talks about the sons of God, every single time that it's mentioned, the sons of God that's in the Bible, it's talking about angels. Every single solitary time, except for one. Except for one. And we play that. And that's where Paul talking about we become the sons of God after we've been converted. But every other time it's talking about angels. Okay. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after them. Okay, let's stop right there. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for he also is flesh. Yet his days shall be 120. All right. That is both a physical statement and a prophecy, so to speak, because at this point, he's letting everybody know, you got 120 years before I'm going to destroy this place. And by the same token, in the prophecy part of it, man is not going to live more than 120 years. And you know, it took some years after that fact because of, you know, the changing of the earth and the atmosphere and all this stuff. I'm not going to get into all that. But men stopped living from, you know, being 900 years old. Now we're down to the, at where we're at now, where the average age of somebody that dies is in their 70s and 80s. But nobody in several hundred years has lived past 120 years. You know, there's only been a couple that didn't make it to 117, 118. So there were giants on the earth in those days, right? When you pull this up and you look at it in the lexicons and concordances and all this other stuff, the King James literally wrote down giants, but the actual word there is Nephilim. And then when you go and research as to what a Nephilim is, it's a fallen one. That's literally what it means, it's a fallen one. And yes, they were giants, and that's probably why that the King James interpreters put it down as giants, but the actual word is Nephilim, and in some Bible versions they actually do say Nephilim. So, and also after that. And when the sons of God came unto the daughters of men, they bare children to them. And the same became mighty men and were men of old of renown. All right, so now we're going to get into some stuff that a lot of people don't want to believe. Screws their head up. They go, well, you're saying that these are the sons of God. These sons of God are angels. And you're trying to tell me that an angel procreated with a human. That's actually exactly what I'm trying to tell you. If you go back throughout the entire Bible, every time, and the big problem is people have a misconception of what an angel is. They have a misconception of what an angel looks like. Every time that it talks about an angel, we're not talking about, you know, the cherubim and things of that nature, the different orders of angels, and they look different as well. Every time it talks about an angel itself, they look like a man. Every single time that an angel is described, they look just like a man. Every single time. And in fact, you're told you may have, throughout the course of your life, entertained angels. You don't know because they look just like a man every single time. And on top of that, just to give you some more insight into how it could have been possible, look at all the diseases that are coming up now. Look at all the different, COVID-19, for example. They say that came from a bat, okay? Well, if you get a disease that's bat-borne, then you shouldn't be able to get it because the species is different. But yet, there you go. You had the bird flu a few years ago. Okay? Same thing. So, I don't think the restraints that everybody thinks are out there are truly there. Or you get some people doing some nefarious things out there, which is highly likely, but you got some people doing some nefarious things out there, making it to where they can do that. Which, by the way, gets into what I was talking about earlier about the golden cells and the eggs and all that stuff. But that's neither here nor there. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every imagination of their thoughts and hearts was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord says, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. Okay, we're going to get into this a little bit further on. But everybody thinks that the primary reason for the flood was because everybody was evil. Everybody was mean, you know. All they thought about was evil all the time. I submit to you that if that's the case, if that was the only reason that the flood happened, then we need to start getting some life jackets real quick. Because, you know, they look around, the world is just as absolutely corrupt as it could possibly be right now, as far as the evilness goes. Mm-hmm. I submit that not only was it just because people were evil, but because the DNA of man had been corrupted, the DNA of animals had been corrupted, the DNA of everything had been corrupted, because you had these fallen angels that were coming down and doing all kinds of things that they shouldn't have been doing. And let me stop right there before we get too carried away. There's several, this story, and almost, I mean literally almost word for word, if you look in the book of Jasher, it's in there. If you look in the book of Enoch, it's in there. If you look in the book of Jubilees, it's the same story is in there, almost word for word, exactly what it says. The difference between those stories, or those texts and this text, is they explain a little bit more in detail, particularly the book of Enoch. It describes a little more in detail. It even gives names of who the fallen angels were. It tells you exactly what happened and when they happened and the backstory of all of it. And I will also like to point out that people say, well, that's not a canonical book. Well, you know, the same people that will say that these are not canonical books, and I'm not saying it's inspired by no means, because I don't know. But the same people that come up and say that, you know, these are not canonical books are also the same people that bash the Catholic Church on a regular basis. Well, guess who canonized the books? The Catholic Church did. So if you're going to bash the Catholic Church because of one thing, then, you know, bash them also for pulling books out. And, by the way, a lot of these books were in the Bible up till the late 1800s, by the way. You can go into the King James, the 1611 King James, which I actually have a copy of, and a lot of these books are actually in it. So, and not just to throw the Catholic Church under the bus, but the Protestant Church, they did the same thing. They pulled books out of it as well. If you go to a Catholic, the Bible that the Catholics use, they got more books in it than the Protestant Bible has. So, you know, the Protestants ain't no better about pulling books out. My point is we all know from you know, the very beginning, Satan has been trying his utmost to keep us down here, to keep us with him instead of us going and being with our Lord and Savior. From day one, I mean, that was part of the reason why Cain killed Abel. That was part of the reason for the flood, you know, the mixing of the flesh and stuff. But, I mean, throughout the entire Bible, Satan has been trying to uproot it. Whenever God gives him a little bit of information through the scriptures, he acts upon it. Every little bit, he acts upon it. You know, just like when he found out that King David was going to be part of the lion. Well, guess what he does? He goes right in there and tries to sort that up. He tries to support everything, all the way up to the time of the crucifixion of Christ. He was right there trying to screw it all up. But little did he know that was the grand scheme, the grand plan anyway. He thought he won whenever he had Christ crucified, but little did he know that was the plan anyway. So, the Bible has got a lot of interesting information in it, provided that you actually read it. But like I said, I'm not really getting anything out of those other texts other than the fact that I'm pointing to you, but you need to read them. If you don't read them for anything else, they're historical, and they're very accurate as far as giving you the history and time frames of all these people, because every name that's mentioned in there, those same names are mentioned in those other texts as well, particularly in Jubilees. It explains who they are a little bit more in detail and why their names are mentioned in here, because every name that's mentioned in the Bible has has importance to it. Every word in the Bible has importance to it. And those other texts give you more of a historical value to them. And I also submit that no matter what text it is, as long as it promotes our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and doesn't go against what everything else in the Bible says, it's good. Now, if it starts talking, you know, there was a lot of text in, back in the day, you know, whenever the church first started, there was a lot of mysticism trying to come into the church, a lot of other things, Gnosticism and things like that were trying to infiltrate the church. And they were, honestly, whenever they were doing the canonizing of the books, that's a lot of the things that they were trying to pull out. But because man as a whole does not like to understand, don't even want to deal with spiritual matters, a lot of that stuff got pulled out. So, again, they're great resources to study the Bible with, to backtrack, to actually get more information about what the Bible is telling you, because a lot of these things are just little quirks and little bits in there. And you can get a better understanding of what's going on. Because, in my personal opinion, the book of Genesis and the book of Revelation are pretty much mirror images of themselves. If you take Genesis and compare it to Revelation, they pretty much say the exact same things. Different timelines, different periods of time, but the whole story is coming out. Genesis is spread out a lot further because of the beginning, and the end is just going to be above, so it's not as long. So, and he repented the Lord that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man, who I will create from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things, and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect in his generation. Let's stop right there. So Noah was a just man, or if he was a righteous man, that doesn't mean he was a perfect man. It just means he was righteous and perfect in his generations. Well, when you go and actually do a lot of trouble singing, whenever you're talking about the word perfect here, what they're talking about is he had no blemishes in him. His DNA was perfect. Okay? And that's literally what it, they don't say DNA whenever you look it up, but it's talking about he didn't have any malnormities or anything of that nature. His body was perfect, just like whenever it talks about an unblemished lamb that they sacrificed, or an unblemished calf whenever they sacrifice. It's the exact same word that they're using. It has no genetic defects in it. Which just adds to the fact of what we were talking about, you know, the crossing of the DNA. And Noah begot three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. Now, this is what we're talking about, the earth being corrupt. They're talking about everything else on the planet, you know, the fish, the animals, the birds of the air, and all that stuff. All those things had been, their DNA had been corrupted as well. And interestingly enough, there's extra biblical texts that actually agree with that, that actually say the same thing. I'm sure many of you, whenever you was in school, you read about, you know, all the Greek gods and the Titans and all those things. You know, the Minotaurs and Medusa and all those little things. Look, if you back up and look at this from outside the bubble, you can see what these fallen angels were doing. They were mixing all these DNA with all these different animals and stuff. So, you know, even the biggest story out there, you know, there's always an element of truth, and even the biggest lie has an element of truth to everything. So if you go and you think back and you look at all, like the Minotaurs, where they crossed a man with a horse, or Medusa, which was a woman and a snake, and think about it, I know people think, well, what in the world? But you got to understand, these are spiritual beings that were doing these things. They had more knowledge about all this kind of stuff than we do. So then you can go back and you can say, yeah, well, possibly that's a very distinct possibility that they were doing those things, and that would explain why you got all these different things from mythology. And it's not just Greek mythology. These very same creatures were found all over the world in the beliefs of the people from all over the world. But it's not just a coincidence that all these things are seen throughout the entire world. You know, people try to make up, well, that's just, you know, they're being made up things. And some of it probably is, but at the same time, all of it can't be a coincidence. So you take that, the mixing of all the flesh, and then the fact that everybody was evil, and I can't see how they could be anything but evil whenever you start mixing all kinds of different animals together, and humans and animals and all that stuff. I can't see how it could be anything but just absolute mean and corrupt. But it says that Noah was perfect. Okay? His genetic DNA was still perfect. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood, room shall be made in the ark, and shall pitch within and without. And that's an interesting point there as well, because normally whenever you pitch a boat or pitch anything for water, you pitch it on the outside, not on the inside. But this one is actually pitched from both inside and outside. For this is the fashion which thou shalt make of it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it be 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And I'm not going to get into what the dimensions of that actually is. But over the past few years, there's been plenty of scientists and boat builders and ship builders and all that stuff that have taken these measurements and put them in their testing tanks or whatever, and I found out that the dimensions of this boat were absolutely perfect. It absolutely could not capsize no matter how much water or how big the waves were or anything of that nature. It was an absolute perfect design. And this, by the way, is in a place where he was building this, wasn't any water to start with. There wasn't any rivers or oceans or anything of that nature nearby. So, I mean, that in and of itself tells you that all these measurements and stuff came straight from God. And a window thou shalt make to the ark, and in a cubit shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set and the side thereof, with lower second and third story shall thou make it. And behold, I do bring the flood waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, where is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. I'm just going to briefly touch this because I don't know that we're going to get into it today. But what he's saying there is everything that I gave the breath of life to, everything that I gave a soul to, everything that I made, I'm going to destroy. Now, if you go back and think about it, it says that there were nothing in the earth now and there will be some afterwards. But God's saying that he's going to destroy. Most people see that I'm going to destroy everything. It's actually not what it says. It says he's going to destroy everything that he put the breath of life into. He didn't create these nothing. He didn't create these fallen beings or these hybrids or these giants, whatever you want to call them. He didn't create those. Those were the offspring of two things that never should have been to start with. But, and I will say this, whenever you get into reading some of the other text on this, it does say that Enoch, whenever the prophecy of the 120 years came out, the fallen angels and the Nephilim themselves, they came to Enoch because he was a righteous man as well, as we know, because he was taken up out of here. But they came to him, and they asked him to, intercede for them. And God said, no, it's not going to happen. And in fact, whenever it's all said and done, the fallen angels, you're going to Tartarus, which is the lowest pits of hell, and their offspring, he was going to make them fight each other and kill each other off because they were so huge. I mean, some of them were, 150, 200 feet tall. I mean, they were literal giants. They were great big people. They were so big that they could pick up a human being and eat him. And that was some of the reasons why that they were doing the things that they were doing, because they were just absolutely eating any and everything. But God said no. And you had this great big battle where all the Nephilim got together and they were out there fighting each other because God put it in their hearts to kill each other off. So, and if you think back and go back to your Greek mythology, you had this one event called the Clash of the Titans, kind of the same thing. You got the Clash of the Titans, and then you got the Nephilim killing each other off. But I will establish with thee, I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, and thou and thy sons, and thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. In every day, in every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt bring into the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be made male and female, of the fowls after their kind, and the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing of the earth after his kind. Two of every sort shall come into thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food that is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee, and shall be for food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah according to all that God commanded him. And we're going to go just a little bit into chapter 7, just a little bit, because there's some important things here as well. And the Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. Of every clean beast thou shalt take to thee by sevens, and the male and his female, and the beasts that are not clean by two, and the male and female, and the fowls of the air by sevens, the male and female, to keep seed upon all the face of the earth. For yet 7 days I will cause it to rain upon the earth, 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made, I will destroy from all the face of the earth. And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And Noah was 600 years when the flood of waters was upon the earth. And Noah went in, and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Of the clean beasts, and of the beasts that are not clean, and the fowls of everything that creepeth upon the earth, there went in two and two unto Noah in the ark, the male and the female, as God had commanded. And it came to pass that every 7 days that the waters of the flood were upon the earth. In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights. I'm not going to get into the rest of it right now, but if you keep on reading, it actually gets a little bit more into detail as to what's going on and about the flood itself. The one thing that, you know, don't say here, it says a little bit further on, it describes, you know, that the door of the ark was actually shut and closed by God himself. God closed that door of the ark. Now, if we go back and think about what happened here, you got the prophecy, you got 120 years. So during this time, Noah's out there preaching for 120 years at the exact same time while he's building the ark. You got all these people that he's preaching to, they're out there chastising him, criticizing him, telling him he's a conspiracy theorist, all this kind of stuff. For 120 years, he's building this ark. And then when he gets the ark built, he goes out and starts gathering food for all the animals and all this stuff. A couple of things that some of this extra biblical text actually clarifies for us and describes for us in more detail is about the animals themselves. You know, it talks about the animal, you know, having two by two, and people in their mind think that, you know, God, Noah's out there grabbing two of each kind of animal and it's got another. Well, what these extra biblical texts actually describe to is, in one instance of that it's talking about, you know, you have a lioness, you know, the mother lion come up and she's got two of her cubs there, one male, one female. Well, whenever it's time to get into the ark, the little cubs, they turn to their mother, slap her in the face, and she backs off, and the two cubs walk up into the ark. In other words, they knew what was going on. And then the story continues on that after the door was shut, all the parents of all the baby animals, because think about it, there had to be small animals to fit inside the ark anyway. But all the baby animals was on site inside the ark, and all the parents of those animals were out there surrounding the ark, because whenever it started to rain, all these people were trying to bash in, trying to break it apart, trying to get in. So the animals themselves were protecting their babies that was inside the ark by keeping all these people back. Yeah, that's just a little bit of extra knowledge that you find in some of these extra biblical texts. But one of the main stories or one of the main things that we need to take from this whole thing is that God himself is the one that closed the door. And then it says that while the door was closed, they waited 7 days until the fountains of the deep broke, until the, you know, the flood came down. And the point is that Noah was out there preaching for 120 years. For 120 years, that door was open. 120 years, that door was wide open. Anybody that wanted to have got inside that ark could have got inside that ark. But the day that door closed, it was over. It was a done deal. So here we are for 2,000 years. We've been preaching and saying that the door is open. The door is open. It's wide open right now. Guess what? That door is fixing to be closed. It's fixing to be closed pretty quick. You need to come and get inside the ark while you still can. Get inside that ark of Jesus Christ before that door gets closed, because whenever it's closed for good, and there ain't no coming back. I don't think there's enough life jackets in the world to keep you afloat after the fact. And that's the gist of what I was saying. The other thing that I wanted to bring apart from that is, you know, Solomon told us there's nothing new in the world. Everything that's happened before is going to happen again, and everything that's happening now has happened in the past. There's nothing new in this world. Nothing new under the sun. These aliens that you're seeing out there are demonic beings, okay? They're demons. And I'll take just a second here and explain to you, because a lot of people don't even understand what a demon is. Okay? They think a demon is an angel. They're not. Whenever you had these Nephilim, these hybrids, I can't even remember the name of the word right now, but, you know, the mixing of two species, so to speak, you know, the crossing of angels and man, you created the Nephilim. And these Nephilim are not created by God. In other words, they don't have a soul. They are spirit beings, but they don't have a soul like you and I do. Whenever they killed off each other, or God killed them, however you want to look at it, and I'm quite certain that many of them died with the flood, but at the same point, if they were told that they'll never leave the earth, they will forevermore roam the earth, they will forevermore be thirsty. And in places in the Bible, I neglected to look it up, but in different places in the Bible, it tells you that these spiritual beings, these demons, they're thirsting. They're always thirsty. They're always hungry. That's why they infiltrate human bodies. That's why you have demon possessions. Because they want to feel, they want to touch, they want to taste. They want to do all these other things that they're not allowed to do anymore. Because all they can do is roam the earth. And these are these Nephilim. Nobody knows how many there were of them. There could have been millions of them. Who knows? But that's what all these demons are. And that's where all this demonic possessions come from. And whether aliens be demons themselves or whether they be other fallen angels, I don't know. The fact of the matter is they're still spiritual beings out there. They're not no such thing as aliens. So whenever, and I honestly foresee this being on the horizon, being as you got Congress, by the way, that just had hearings on it. I think they're going to come up and say that there was disclosure. In other words, they're going to admit to the fact that, hey, we've been working with aliens for the last, 75 years. What they're really telling you is that if you've got, a spiritual mind and an understanding of the Bible, what you're going to actually hear is we've been working with demons and these fallen angels for the last 75 years, and that's why we're doing the things that we're doing. That's how we can do all these different things. That's how we can, come up with diseases like COVID-19 that affects certain people. And by the way, if you did any research into the actual COVID-19, only certain groups that it killed. Only certain groups. A lot of different people got sick from it, but there was really certain groups that it attacked more often than not black people. And you go back and do your research, it actually just took a pretty big toll on the black people. And if you do any more research, AIDS was another man-made disease. I suppose we're coming from monkeys. And that's what that one does. And now you got this monkeypox thing coming up. Monkeypox has been around for a while, but nonetheless, it's popping back up. And something else that I want to say, because another thing that Jesus said in Matthew was also in the days of Lot. We know what was going on there. You had the two angels, by the way, that look like humans. And they tried to molest them. So that's why God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, because of that. It all ties back together, by the way. But the monkeypox and AIDS both were primarily focused on homosexuals. You don't see that in the news because they don't want to hurt their agenda or promote homosexuality. But the truth is, monkeypox primarily is a homosexual disease, which is another reason not to be a homosexual, by the way. Not the primary reason, but that's just another good reason not to be. AIDS, again, that was another disease that was targeted for both blacks and homosexuals. It was actually a disease that was created by man to attack the black person. And then because of different things, and our dear friend up there, Mr. Fauci, who was one of the main instigators of all this stuff, by the way, with AIDS. That's where he got his start, by the way. He was out there giving needles out and all this kind of stuff, and that's where it actually went from the black person to the homosexuals. But that's neither here nor there. Just be aware of the fact that the door is open right now. it is definitely getting ready to close. We're in the end times. We're in the, personally, I don't think we got minutes. I think we're in the seconds in the universal clock. So this door is getting ready to close. It's getting ready to close fast, and once it does, it's done for. I mean, you know, you got a lot of people out there that believe in a pre-tribulation rapture, and because of this pre-tribulation rapture, they come up and say, well, you got a second chance during the tribulation period itself. You know, that's bonkers. That's not true. First of all, the pre-tribulation rapture is bonkers, but aside from that, they're giving you a hope of a second chance, which does not exist. That's the main thing that you need to be aware of. That's one of the biggest delusions, and may in fact be the great delusion, you know, because the Bible speaks of a great delusion, that they'll believe a lie, and that's definitely a lie. So just be aware of that, and I'm going to stop there because it's already getting late, and if I keep going, I'll be here for another hour. But my main point is, read the Bible, study the Bible. You'll see there's a lot of interesting things in here. I mean, I could get into more on the Nephilim and the Raphaim, which the Bible talks about. I mean, just a couple of chapters later, you're talking about the Raphaim, which is the offshoot of the Nephilim. You know, whenever you had all the kings of, you know, Sodom and the kings of Gomorrah and the kings of all the other little kingdoms of the plain out there, they all went and they were fighting against the Raphaim, the giants. I mean, the next chapter or something, you start talking about King Gog, and then you also got Goliath, and then whenever Joshua, as a matter of fact, this is the reason they were in the desert for 40 years, by the way, it's because they went into the land of Canaan and seen all the giants that were there. You know, they were so big they made them look like grasshoppers. You know. And then by the same token, you know, they didn't want to go in there. And something interesting, I don't know if anybody's ever paid any attention to it, and I'll cut it short. But whenever it's talking about whenever Joshua was coming back out of the promised land, he had two great big burly men carrying a stick, and on the stick was a bunch of grapes. Now think about that. Two big burly men carrying just a bunch of grapes. Them suckers had to be huge. I mean, honestly, really, go back and read that, what it actually said. It didn't say they were carrying a whole bunch of grapes. It just said they were carrying a bunch of grapes. And then all at the same time, you also had these great big, humongous people that were there, you know, that made them look like grasshoppers. And then you get into the story of Daniel and Goliath. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't realize why he picked up five stones. He picked up five stones, one for Goliath and the other for his three brothers. Mm-hmm. Some people say that, you know, he wanted to have five stones because, you know, in case he missed, he wasn't worried about it. If he wasn't scared enough, worried enough to go against somebody four times his size, and he certainly wasn't worried about missing. He picked up the five stones for Goliath and his three brothers or four brothers. So I'm going to go ahead and stop there. Again, read your Bible. There's a lot of very, very interesting stories in there. And if you study the Bible, actually study it, you'll come up with all kinds of things that make perfect sense. One last thing. Another reason why you need to, if you follow the story by what the seminaries say, as opposed to thinking that these were fallen angels, you have a hard time understanding, truly understanding why, when Israel went in, or when the nation of Israel went into the country of Israel, why God told them to destroy certain groups of people, and every man, woman, and child, destroy them all. Well, if you think about think about it by the line of Seth thing, it makes absolutely no sense. It kind of makes it look like and point out to be the fact that God's evil. And that's not true. But if you look at it from a more spiritual standpoint, where, you know, you've got these giants and you've got the Nephilim, and then you still got part of that bloodline, because it says after the flood as well, still got part of that bloodline flowing out there. That explains why whenever God told them to destroy every living soul from these certain groups of people, why they did that, because their bloodline was tainted, and he needed for them to destroy them to get that tainted bloodline out. And that makes a little bit more sense, and it makes it more understanding, and also makes it to be where you got more of a just God than an evil God. And I promise you, God's not evil. Not an evil bone there. All right, but with that, I'm going to close. Turn it back over to Pastor Tony. Thank you all, and y'all have a blessed day.
Well, praise the Lord. You know, we need to be thinking a lot about things like that that we don't really think about most of the time. But you know, as he was talking with us there, God reminded me of a song to go with that. So, this song answers us a question. Now you and I, if we walk through that door, our family circle, is it going to be broken? You know, that's something we really need to be thinking about. When we walk through that door, make heaven our home, what about the rest of our family? Is that circle, that family circle, going to be broken? That's what that song's about. Will the circle be unbroken? Or will it be broken? And I'm afraid for many of us, we're going to have that circle broken in many spots, in many places. All right. We appreciate Brother Dennis. We thank God for him. Remember now, tonight at 6 p.m., God willing, we can be together again. Hopefully there'll be a few more with us than what we have now. But our churches are getting fewer and fewer and fewer every day. You know, I can stand here while service is going on. You can count the cars. There'd be enough cars go by here during church time to fill this church. Because they've got someplace else to be instead of being in God's house. God's not going to give them an excuse. Because he says he is first. He's to be first in our lives. And when we let other things come between us and church, then we're not making him first, are we? All right. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again as we close your word, Father, we thank you for that word. We thank you for the knowledge that the Holy Spirit gives us, Father, that guidance and the power that he brings to us in our lives so that we can do the things, Father, that you will call upon us to do, and that we can speak the things, Father, that you want spoken. Now, Father, your saints, wherever they are, we ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them, because, Father, we know they are having very little peace right now. But even more than that, Father, we pray for all of Israel to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel will be known to the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, this land of ours, this land that walks so far away from the Lord Jesus Christ and from your church, we have so much to be thankful for. And we need to be standing, and all of us standing and praying for and with Israel, Father, because that's where we get the Lord from. Now, Father, be with each one of us today as we separate to go our own way. And help us when it comes time for election, Father, to vote those out of office that's against the church and against the Lord Jesus. And help us to put ones in that will work for the church and work to put Jesus back in all the places he's been taken out of. Now, Father, our prayer list. As each name is mentioned, may the Holy Spirit touch that one to fulfill whatever need they have, whether it be spiritual, physical, or financial. Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, Dennis Lee, his family, Kenny's family, Terry's family, my family, Father. Now, Father, Amy's husband, Tom, Amy and Tom's young son, Jacob, Dennis Breeden and his wife, Tina, brothers in Christ, Pastor Small of the Glory Bound Church. We pray for Randy Johnson, Father. Randy moved. Was caught in a flood. And lost everything he had. And Father, we know you're with him. Take care of him, Father. And see to his needs. For the Meade County General Baptist Church, the pastors there, Pastor Don Hilton, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie, that little full gospel church of God there at Eckring. Father, these churches, don't just make them lighthouses, but make them a place of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find light, that light being Jesus. For my three pastor friends in Pakistan, Father, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Irene, Father, see to their needs. Take care of them, Father. Keep them safe as they travel through places, Father, that don't honor you, don't honor your name, don't want nothing to do with anything that way, Father, that would put actually them to death over speaking your name. For Jimmy Embry, Sharon Mombello and her mother, for Sue and Dave Branson, for Palin Goodman, for Kelly Smith and his wife, Father, all of these, they stand in need of a touch, a healing touch. Some needs a spiritual healing, some needs a physical healing. We touch them, Father. Bring them into the fold. And we ask this in Jesus' sweet, precious name. Amen. Remember now, be with us at 6 this evening. So until then, have a great afternoon. Bye-bye now.